Amen. Good to be in the Lord's house tonight, isn't it? Glad to be among family and friends. Very grateful tonight to be here. And it's been a great week. I know this week was the first time I'd ever been here at Morningstar. Had to figure out where I was at for just a minute there. It's been a busy couple of weeks. But it has been an honor to be here. I mean that. And the fact that your pastor called me and about coming in and trying to fill in. You're about a rough place to be, and I've had to deal with this several times. When they're wanting Brother Rackley, or they're expecting Brother Rackley, and they're wanting Tony Finney, and then they get Brother Alden, I'm telling you. Brother Jarvis sent me a text, said I just put that money in for show and a love offering. I want you to give me that back. I really. Praise the Lord. Again, thank you. I know how busy our weekends are, and be able to be in God's house on Friday night. I hope that you young people know nothing about this, but many in the building tonight, adults, young adults, parents. It wasn't always that Friday night using God's house. That's not how it always. But God saved you. God changed your life, and now you're here. And young people, you have the privilege. I know our young people. We've been in several youth meetings already this year. Have the privilege to go to youth meetings on a Friday night, and just be in this kind of atmosphere, and to be around and see other young people serving God. Take advantage of that, and I'm grateful to be here. Grateful for that good number from First Baptist that came with us tonight, traveled over. What a joy! Thank God for my church family. I love God's people. I love where God's planted us, and thank God for that. Yeah, go right ahead, bro. Wasn't that great? Mm-hmm. So good to us, and our pastor encourages. We try to encourage and practice old time religion, and we want them right in the middle of it, loving God and serving Jesus, and they're growing up too fast on us. I mentioned those that came on the front row. Luke, stand up. Luke, show them. This is my bodyguard. Stand up, Luke. Show them. Bodyguard, Brother Luke. Put them. Show them the guns. Show them if they get that. I'm telling you something. He might be little, but I guarantee he'll chew your leg slam off if you get that. Messing, brother. Oh, ain't that right, Brother Luke? Ain't that right? Say amen right there. We love Luke. Luke's with us. Luke probably, Luke's ready to turn however old he needs to be to go to camp. But Brother Barry, he's chomping at the bits to go to RBT camp, so he's just ready to turn. But I appreciate God's goodness. I get their thought just a second, and I say this all the time. Anytime I see him, good to see Brother Mark Jordan here tonight. I used to ride the same bus, Brother Mark. Of course, he was driving the bus. And no, that's not true. He wasn't driving the bus. But just good to be in God's house tonight. Good to be in God's house. Isaiah chapter number 5 tonight will be our text. Isaiah 5. And you preachers understand this. You have messages. You have things, you know, that God's given you. You want to use. And I really looked at those. Yeah, as I was trying to pray and move. Matter of fact, I felt like I'd been settled for a while. But God today put this passage on my heart for tonight and spoke to my heart and just real to me. I've only really dealt with this passage one other time, and been a long, long time ago. But God really gave me some things for tonight. And I believe that with the nature of that somebody's probably at a crossroad tonight. And young people, don't take for granted the opportunity God's given you here tonight. I mean... Somebody tonight could look back on this night and say this was the night that God didn't just, if you're saved, you're lost, God wants to save you. Look back and say, well, the greatest time of life is God saved me. But it could be tonight that God's trying to salvage a life tonight. And you don't have to go to the world. I'll say this again, I'm sure. You don't have to go to the world and mess up and get in, you know. There's no scripture that says you have to be saved get to a certain age and rebel and get sin in your life and then come back. And I'm thankful God's a forgiving God. God's a God of mercy. Matter of fact, I can't wrap my mind around that. But I'm telling you, that's not in God's plan for your life. That's not in God's will for your life to have those times where you get away. But God wants to help us tonight. And He wants to help you. Thank you again, Morning Star, for letting me come and be with you. I know we got pizza. And I believe that's right, got some pizza. Baptist and food. This is a dangerous place to be in between Baptist and food. And so I try to deliver my thought tonight. I don't know what this means. Some of my young people kept saying, I hope you don't preach a camp message. And I thought, what is a camp message? And I thought, does that mean preaching on a certain subject? What they're talking about is that people will record me at camp and they go so long the battery dies in their phone. I don't know what they're talking about, but amen. Hour and 40 minutes. Lord have mercy. I didn't pack a sandwich if I was going to preach. Amen. 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 Yes, sir, my brother. Said he just needed to brag on Jesus. I mean this. I love young. I mean, I'm in your corner. All the young, I'm in your corner. How long has it been since you stood and just bragged on God for being good to you? How long has it been, young, you know, sir, young man, how long has it been since you really just stood and just bragged on how good? I'm really not trying to get you to do it now unless God nudges your heart. How long has it been since how good God is to you, you know, got bigger than your pride or your ego, and you just said, I just want everybody to know whose side I'm on and thank God for being good. How long has that been? Have you ever done that? But with that too, how long has it been for us as parents and grand? How long has it been since? Probably all of us are way overdue that. Way overdue that. Young people, God is bigger, and I'm not downplaying youth camp. Some of the greatest, Brother Cody, some of the greatest things God's done in my life took place at a youth camp. But I'm glad for the day that I discovered that God is much bigger. He don't have to just be God for a week at a time, week out of the year. But He is God, and He's real, and He's big, and He's good. And He wants to work in my life. And I appreciate the Lord doing that. Amen? I appreciate God's goodness tonight. Go ahead, Brother Mark. Testified tonight, their testimonies are different. One thing I can guarantee you is, as they both testified, no regrets in getting saved. No regrets in getting saved. But I promise you, the first brother that testified would say, boy, I'd love to get saved at 14. Nobody ever gets saved and says, man, I wish I'd have waited on that. I wish I'd have waited. If you say, I wish I'd have waited because I want to do this and that, I'd be worried about what you got. Amen. Nobody ever gives their heart. Nobody ever lives their life for God and then looks back and say, boy, I wish I hadn't have done that. Oh, I'm telling you, there are no regrets in serving Jesus. I appreciate God's goodness tonight. And I want to be just obedient to Him. Just hear His good, sweet voice. He knows how to put it all together, doesn't He? Amen. 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 Let's pray. My Father, I want to just tell you again tonight that I love you. And I'm grateful tonight to be in your house. God, I'm grateful tonight that I don't have to try to perform or try to figure anything out. I just want to follow your good, sweet voice. And God, you've helped us throughout the week. Probably if we were just obedient to everything we heard this week, God, we could really see a move of God. I'm convinced that a move of God in these last days, God, that there's going to be some young people involved. I pray, Lord, that there'll be a few that'll purpose in their mind. They want a little bit more than just the ordinary. God, I want to thank you for being good. I thank you for the will of God. I thank you for saving me. God, at 14, I thank you, God, for doing that. But I thank you for salvaging my life. I thank you that at 14, you put purpose in my heart. And God, I thank you for your goodness. God, tonight, we're needy people. And I pray you'd meet with us. I pray, God, that your perfect will be done. And God, for all that you do, we'll be careful to praise you. It's not in me. God, if it was in me, God, I might as well just sit down tonight. It's not in me. We need you. We need you greatly tonight. God, I ask you to work once again. Do what only you can do, and it is in that wonderful name of the Son of God do we pray. Amen and amen. Isaiah chapter number 5, I want to begin in verse number 1, and I want to just kind of walk through a text together and give you some things that the Lord just really made very fresh in my heart today and gave me, and I want to just try to relate that to you. When we come to Isaiah 5, God now is allowing Isaiah, who is a man of vision, God lets him see some things that others didn't get to see. Young people, if you'll give your life to God, you'll get to see some things that others don't get to see. And you'll get to experience some things that not everybody gets to experience. I'm preaching at our place on Wednesday night, and our church will agree that some of our favorite times in services when our pastor gets just telling stories about God being faithful, God being good. And if you'll stay with God, it ain't going to be long just down the line that just like you hear mama and daddy and grandma and grandpa telling about how God come through and about how God met their needs, it ain't going to be long till you're going to start seeing God do some of those things in your life. And so Isaiah has this vision, and now God begins to point some specific things. He wants to show him the closeness of God and some things about God through the relationship between how God treats his people. Notice in verse number 1, the Bible said, "Now will I sing to," notice the joy here, notice the attention, "I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved." So Isaiah says, as I'm watching this, I'm seeing a song that's going up to God, and it's a song about God. That's a pretty good song to sing, is a song to God about God. Amen. And he said, "Touching his vineyard, my well-beloved hath the vineyard of a very fruitful hill." And I want to stop there and notice that Isaiah puts an emphasis on this relationship or this emotion of love that's sent from between Isaiah and the God, and then from God down to what he's showing him or the people. And I stand amazed tonight at the love of God. I stand amazed at his love for me, knowing how imperfect I am. And we've got a room tonight, probably everybody at some point in time, and you'd be amazed at how many young people battle this. Does anybody love me or care about me? And I'm telling you, if everybody tells you they don't love you, there's a God in heaven that loves you. Young lady, you don't have to look for love in the wrong people, in the wrong places, and you don't have to look for love in the world. I'm telling you, nobody ever loved you like Jesus does. And, amen, he has more than just earned and won our love. And I'm going somewhere. But I think about my amazement is that God loves us unconditionally. Miss Alejandra, we don't earn God's love. He loves us already. You can't do anything to make God love you. Neither can you do anything to make God stop loving you. I'm amazed by that. And our pastor preached this recently, I believe last Sunday, talked about, you know, we didn't have anything to offer God. We didn't have anything we could bring to God and say, well, I'll do this. Man, God loved us in our sin. Paul said in Romans 5 and 8, but God committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loved you before you ever had any kind of love toward God. And God loved us before we ever got in church. God loved us before we ever started preaching. God loved us before we ever got in a youth choir. God loved us when you and I spent so much effort trying to push God away. It never one time affected how God loved us. And the beauty of that, and I'm preaching my pastor's thought for just a minute and I get back, but Brother Jarvis, he reminded us on Sunday, if God loved me that much before I got saved, you mark it down, tonight he loves us, amen. He loves me so much, he knows exactly what's best for me. I don't always know what's best for me, but I do know this, I know God knows what's best for me. He's looking and he's moved by the relationship that he finds but between God and his love for people. And then from that, often I am disappointed in how I love God back for how much God loves. I don't love him perfectly. I don't love him like I ought to love him all the time, but I'm glad it don't change how much God loves me. And here's where I'm going, young people. There's going to be a constant battle for your affection.
There is a constant battle raging. You say, preacher, what's happening out? There is a battle taking place for these young people. And because what you love is what you're going to follow. Here we are in church tonight. But if you don't love Him, then you have no interest in the things that will take place here tonight. If you love the world, there's something on the inside. You're more concerned about what's taking place outside of church than you are with what's taking place inside of church. There's this battle for affection. What you love is going to show up in your conversation. It don't take long getting around. You will find out what you love. We'll know what team you like, whether you like Gamecocks or like Clemson. We ain't getting that debate tonight. But we'll find out real quick about who your teams are and your faith, because what you love comes up in your conversation. I like getting around people who love talking about Jesus. Brother Jim, He's just the best thing ever happened to me. Amen. He's just the sweet rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. He's just the bright morning star. He's just the one that calms the storms. He's just the one that's been there for me and with me in every area of my... Amen. Don't get too excited about the fact that the Holy God of heaven loves us and has been so good to His people. He's amazed by that love. And notice, He brings about this vineyard, and He describes this vineyard to us. Stay with me. I notice, first of all, that He mentions that this vineyard is in a very fruitful hill. Now consider this. It is placed in a very fruitful... When he picks out where that He's going to grow this vineyard, when He begins to pick out where He's going to grow these grapes, He's looking for a very fruitful hill. He wants to find somewhere that is going to yield a very healthy plant. Let me tell you something now, young people. God has planted you in a very fruitful hill. Can I say first, the house of God is a very fruitful hill. Yeah, don't fall out with me right here. Young people, you need the house of God more than you realize. You need it. And we as adults, we have to fight to make sure that we're focused. And you come to God, you say, preacher, I have trouble paying attention now. Well, you wait, you had to fight some youngins and beat and fuss with your wife and holler at your mother-in-law. You wait till that day comes before you can get to God's house. You say, I'm just so distracted now. You wait till you wiping noses and you think you're distracted now. Get to church and say, Lord, I thought I had 3 kids. I ain't got one on the pew. Where in the world to go? Amen. I'm telling you, you ought to be engaged in the house of God. You ought to go to church on Sunday morning ready to receive something from the man of God, ready to receive something. I'm telling you, if you'll plant yourself in the house of God, if you'll purpose in mind, God, I may not be able to do this. I don't have any great talents. But one thing is for sure, I want to stay planted in the house of God. I'm not interested in making money. I'm not interested in this person. That. I want to get something from God. If you plant yourself here, you'll be in a fruitful place that'll help you grow. The church is a fruitful hill. I'm going to say this. Your home is a fruitful hill God's given you. Young person, when's the last time you went and hugged mama and thanked her for how good of a mama you got? I promise I'm going somewhere. Just bear with me now. How long has it been, young man, since you thanked your mama for washing your clothes and so you wouldn't go to, you know, I know you want to look cool in front of the girls, but you wouldn't look cool had mama not keep your clothes. Somebody help me a little bit. Because teenage boys stink. Amen. But you got a good mom. Mama keeps them clean. I'm telling you, here's the thing. One day you're going to look back. You don't realize it now. I'm just trying to help you. You're probably going to disagree. 90% of teenagers will. But one day you'll look back and realize that living in that home was some of the best days that God ever gave you. Somebody help me now. You're going to realize how blessed you were. I realize there's some of you tonight, maybe you come from different kind of home. Maybe you weren't raised in a Christian home. And I'm telling you, God can change your life. God will use you to raise a Christian home. God can establish that, do great things in your life. But I'm talking to young people tonight that God has blessed you. God's given you a good mom and daddy. And God's given you a good home. You ought to thank God that God planted you in a fruitful hill to give you a place you can serve God from. Amen. I mean, a fruitful place is the home. Hey, listen, God gave you somebody in your home that loves God. Oh, some of you are struggling tonight that you were forced. You ought to thank God if somebody loved you enough to say, you're not going here, but you're going to God's house. Amen. You ought to thank God, because I'm telling you, there's some mamas and daddies in the building. There's some adults in the building who love to go back in their teenage years. And would to God, somebody would have took them to youth meeting. Somebody would have got them in church. I'm telling you, God has been good to you. Amen. Amen. Young person, how long has it been since you thanked God for the home you got? We can teach you and force you to say thank you. If you receive something, you ready? If you receive something, you should say and those are words. I've learned this. Nobody can make your heart be grateful. Nobody can. And I say this often, the little word entitlement is killing us. Sometimes if we're not careful, we feel like, buddy, we deserve the home we got. Oh, we deserve the church. No, no, friend. We don't deserve what God don't think we deserve is hell. But God was merciful and God was good and God loved us. And God gave us the church that we have. And God gave us the youth group that we have. And God gave us the home. And you ought to thank God for being so good to you. Can I just go recognize and say this? God has been good to me. Hey, amen. You young people, if you want to turn me off for just a minute, there's some mamas and daddies in here, and there's some grandmas and grandpas in here who know, friend, that God's been good to them. God puts clothes on their back, and God puts shoes on their feet, and God puts the food in our belly, and God gives us a good house, God gave us a good job, and God gave us a good car. I'm telling you, God has been good to us, amen. Brother Mark, God's been good to us, ain't he? Woo! God has been good. Young people, has God been good to you? Have you told him lately? Just, I'm not talking about going and complaining to him. I know you have problems, young people. I know you have burdens. But how long has it been since you just went to God and said, God, I just want to thank you for being good. Thank you for the juice in my sippy cup. Thank you for that closet full of clothes. Thank you for the waffles in my plate. Thank you for mom and daddy loving me. Thank you for my youth pastor. Thank you for my church. Thank you for my choir. And learn and realize that God has been good to you. Amen. It's been good to us. A fruitful hill. Got to hurry. Notice when he put that fruitful hill, the Bible said in verse number 2, and he fenced it. He begins to plant. He chooses the place. And then he begins to build some barriers around this vineyard. Brother Mark, those barriers are raised to keep some things in. And they're also keeping some things out. Barriers are raised. Let me say it this way. In Luke 15, the Bible said that the prodigal son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Miss Kelly, it was a far country because he had not been raised in the far country. There was a daddy who chose to raise his boys away from the far country. That old song says, I've been sheltered by his grace, kept in a safe place. Those barriers are raised up. They're to keep the wrong people out. Those barriers are to keep the wrong things. Sometimes, listen to me, young person, sometimes you feel like everything I do, it's just rules and regulations. I can't do this and I can't do that. I'm telling you, you ought to thank God that your mom and daddy don't just let you go and let you decide who you run with, let you decide who you talk to. You ought to thank God that a mom and daddy loves you enough to give you a wonderful word, and that word is, you ready? No. That's to you, that is, you won't let me have my way. But from mama is, I love you and I can't let you do that. Those barriers are raised. You don't realize this. And here your flesh is. And as a teenager, your hormones are raging. And you want to do this and you want to vote. And something begins somewhere between 13 and 18. Somewhere in that mix, there's going to be something rise up in you. And you're going to try to rebel and you're going to want to turn away. But I'm telling you, if you'll just stay at the house, if you'll just thank God that God gave you a mom and a daddy who won't, I'm telling you, there'll come a day in your life. You'll say, Mama, thank you for telling me no. Daddy, thank you for putting some walls up. Grandma, thank you for praying over me. I'm telling you, if you just stay put behind the barriers, then God can help. Say, help your life. Help me, Lord. Amen. You are being, where's little Liliana? There's some getting my glasses on. Sight. Liliana, wave up here, Brother Archie. Wave up. That's Liliana. Liliana is being reserved for the master's use. She ain't but what, 8, 7, 6? I got 3 different numbers. Just take the average. I mean, but all I know is this, praise God, with everything in us over at the First Baptist Church of Conestee and down at the Brooks Residence and down at the day school, all we're trying to do is just raise some barriers in her life. She ain't going to always understand the rules. She ain't always going to understand the why. But I'm telling you, if she'll just be patient, wait on God, there'll be a day in her life she'll thank God. Somebody kept her from the wrong boy. Somebody kept her from the wrong crowd. Somebody kept her from going on Friday night. She'll look back and say, thank God, some young person tonight needs to thank God for the barriers, thank God for the fences that God has raised up around your life. It's not cause they hate you, it's cause they love you. I'm coming back to that. When he fences it, boy, I can stay there. Then he said, and he gathered out the stones thereof. In other words, God reached in, and here's what God said. There was a choice that was left to the Lord. And the Lord determined what they did and what they didn't need. Can I say that again? The Lord, Brother Jim, reached into that vineyard and he began to take some things out. He determined what should be in that vineyard and what should not be in that vineyard. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. You ready? God, simple truth. God knows what your life needs far better than you do. Are you with me? I'm gonna go a little bit further. You're trying to get God's blessings all over your life. I'm trying to get God. I dare you. For you pillow your head tonight. Go find your mom and daddy. And say, Mom and Daddy, I don't know how to run my life. I said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to do my very best. You pray for me. I really want to follow the direction you're taking me. This is Miss Charlotte Tucker. This is Brother Milton Taylor's daughter. If you want her to sign your Bible after service, she will. She's a pretty good preacher. Miss Charlotte, she's about to be 40. I'm going to be in so much trouble. My kids, y'all getting all F's on Monday. I'm sorry, guys. Miss Charlotte, have you ever regretted one decision your daddy made for you? Ashley, how old are you? About 24 in June, 23¾. Have you ever regretted any decision your mom and daddy's made for you?
Amen.
Listen to me, Natalia, you'll not follow anybody you don't trust. I'm telling you, and those who say, okay, Lord, God, I'm giving you, and here's what you don't realize. Here's what you, I know you say, I want this, I'm pushing, I want this. What you don't realize, if you let God do the picking, if you let God decide what's in your life, if you let God decide who's in your life, you'll look back one day and say, boy, God, you sure did a wonderful job picking this life out for me. I say glory, hallelujah. I don't regret serving God. I don't regret getting saved. I don't regret God blessing my life. I don't regret what God's given me. I'm telling you, God always gives the best for those who let God give them what He wants. He always does. Got to hurry. Notice verse 2, there's an investment The Bible said, and he fenced it and gathered out stones, and he planted it with the choicest vine. He put the best in it. He put the best. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. The choices. In other words, I see the investment. You say, I don't understand why. Why is the preacher always preaching to me? Why are my youth leader just letting me go? Why do they say these things? Why do these adults keep? I'll tell you why. Because they've got too much invested to walk away from. You may listen to me. There's a young person in the building tonight. I don't know who you are, but you've been told and you're believing the lie that you really don't matter. I'm telling you, 2,000 years ago on a hill called Calvary, there was an investment made for you. You are not worthless. You are not too far gone. You are not somebody nobody cares about. There's a God in heaven that loves you that much. Young people, what you don't realize is here you are now, but your mama's not walking away because she walked with you and carried you for 9 months. And whether y'all, I don't know what movies y'all been watching, but from what I understand, I don't know. I ain't never been expecting, but I'm hearing that ain't the easiest process. Should have been some ladies in the building saying, And God, oh my, and God allows that there, and mamas, do you realize this? You got to get a hold of this. Get a hold of this simple truth that you wouldn't have made it were it not been for your mom and daddy. Amen. So I don't believe that. Pick up Spartanburg, pick up newspaper, pick up Greenville News, pick up local newspapers and find out about those. But somebody loved you enough and invested into you. Yeah. Amen. Blood, sweat, and tears. I'm telling the kind of mom I had. She wanted to be here this week. They've been still battling some sickness. She wanted to come at least one night. I had the kind of mama. But if she would get hands on. Amen. Yeah. Hands on. Ask, where are you going? What you doing? Mama had invested too much. Let me say it this way. There's been too much invested for them just to pull their hands off and let you just go do any old thing. Lydia's my firstborn. You think I'm going to give her over just because the boy comes in and says, look, got a King James Bible. Woo-hoo. Yeah. Mama, I've been at youth camp. I've been watching this boy. He went to the altar every night. I know it's God's will. It's God's will. We're going to get married. Really. I've been going to the altar since she was a little girl. I think I got a little bit more right. You think I'm just going to turn you over? Say, you think mama's just going to turn you over one day? But no, you know better than that. Your mama's got half crazy. That's why I love about her, praise God. Amen. What I'm trying to get you to see, there has been some investment put into you, and they're not, young people at First Baptist, I know it's this way here. You think Pastor Finn is just going to just turn his head and whistle while you just walk out and go to the world? No! With blood, sweat, and tears, and praying, and begging God to get on your life. You got to hurry. Watch this. Verse number 2. Not only do you find the investment, the choicest vine gave the best. I mean, they're not just going to let you go. Then in verse number 2, here's what God did. The Bible said, plant it with the choice vine and build a tower in the midst. There's something put in place to help keep a watch. Amen. Someone who would be positioned to watch over the vineyard. Someone placed there to watch. You know what? God's been so good to you. God has been so good to you. Young people, those of you here at the Morning Star Baptist, very much God loves you. God placed a watchman to watch over the vineyard. I'm telling you, you ought to make your preacher, one of your best friends. Amen. You ought to. I understand as a teenager, when I didn't want to be around my pastor, when I didn't want to be around preachers, there was something in my life I didn't want them to see and I didn't want them to know. And that's why I pulled away from God's people. I'm telling you, one of the best friends you got on planet Earth is a man of God that loves you enough to preach against your sin. I just wish that preacher, I know what you have, said preacher. My friends at school, they got a cool pastor. He loves everybody, and he's okay with this and that. He's all right with gays, and he's all right with it. I'm telling, thank God for men who still stand for truth and still stand for right, amen. Some of you scared to bring some of your classmates around your preacher. Some of you like a boy and a girl, but you're scared to bring them around your preacher. Oh, help me, Lord. I'm that ain't in the outline, but I believe it's in the inline. Thank God for men who herald truth. That's not them mad at you. That's because they love you. See, what you see the message in. We hear things and we say, I just didn't like the way that sounded, and I didn't like the way he said it. But what you don't realize, he spent the last 72 hours praying and begging God to keep a protection over you. He's been praying over you. You don't realize that. I thank God for men who aren't in it just for the dollar. They're not in it just for popularity. I thank God for real men of God who stand and still love the people of God. You ever thank God for you, preacher? Stay with me now, verse number 2. I'm going somewhere. The Bible said, build a tower in the midst of it. And also made a wine press. Oh, wine press? That means there was a wine press was built there because they felt like there'd be a day that they would pick those grapes. They'd pick those grapes, bring them the wine press, and they would get the wine out, wine being a type of joy. Let me ask you something, child of God. Let me ask you something, young person. You got any joy in your life? Got any joy? I'm just being honest. We'll be in youth camp this summer. And the first thing, and I'm just saying, when we get around young people, first thing I'm looking for, I'm looking at the countenances of young people. Miss Kat, it breaks my heart how many young people go around in absolute misery. You don't have to be miserable tonight. That choir singing, I'm on the winning, I'm on. I mean, literally, I am on the winning side. I'm not saying it ain't been bad this thing. I'm not telling you that the problem is going to get fixed. But I can take you over to the last chapter, and I can show you where the last shot's been fired, the last word's been said, and guess what? We win! Amen. Joy. Verse number 2, stay with it. Notice. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. There's an young people, there is an expectation. But the problem is, say, preacher, why is there an expectation? There's an expectation because there's been an investment. God put you in a good church, and God put you in a good home, and God put you in all these things. But yet, when he goes to find that great crop come in, he gets down there, and they begin to expect, what did it yield? And there's a letdown. Let me ask you something. What are you going to produce when the fruit of your life starts coming in? The world says, live for today, do what you want to. Isn't that what it says? God said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What's it going to be like? What's it going to be like? Come here, Luke. Come here, Luke. Come here, Brother Luke. Let me get him going. Let me get the blood pumping up here. Come on. This is Luke, Pastor Finney's grandson. He'll sign your Bible too, praise God. This is Luke. Right now in Luke's life, there are walls and barriers everywhere. And right now, Luke's getting good preaching, and he's in a good Sunday school class, and he's going to a great church, and he's singing in the choir, and all those things, and a good home, and sisters that just love him. You don't got to tell everybody everything. We'll talk later, Brother Luke. But you know what's going to happen one day? Right now, but there's going to be a day in Luke's life when it's not going to be people come over here now, do this now, go here, be on time. We don't have the weather, it ain't going to be on time. Y'all don't know. And all these, but Brother Jim, one of these days, Luke is going to be beyond my reach. He's going to be beyond Brother Jim's reach.
And he's going to be beyond his Sunday school teacher's room. That day is coming. And one day, Luke's going to have to decide, because there's nobody saying you need to do this, you got to do this. You need, Natalia, that day's coming in your life where you're going to have to be forced with this simple truth, this simple decision. Am I going to do right because I've been made to do right, or am I going to do right because I want to do right?
Amen.
Brother Mark testified, said he got born again at 14 years old, and in that testimony is not one regret of getting saved and giving his heart to God. I'm going to tell you what you miss out when you give your heart to God. You miss out on overdoses. You miss out on broken dreams. Hey, you miss out on hangovers. You miss out on your life being busted and your talent being wasted. You miss out on all kind of violence. I'm telling you, you miss out. I'm telling you tonight, thank God, I missed out on what the world had, but oh, I got so much more in God. So much more. Let me give you this. In verse 3 and in verse 4, he now is inviting others. I want you to come, and I want you to judge my vineyard. I'm trying to hurry. And in verse 3, here's what he said. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and of Judah, send the people to come look at what I've made, what I've done. Look at the product. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. He asked two questions. He said, I want you to come out, and I want you to look. They have produced wild grapes. First thing I want you to do, I want you to come and look and see if you can tell me whose fault it was. Listen to me now. Can I tell you something? That thing in you that wants to rise up and blame everybody else in your world for why you can't serve God and do right. I'm going to tell you, that didn't come from God. That came from the devil and your flesh. Just being honest. Blame. You want to? Can I say this? It's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. Yeah. Somebody once said it this way: if you can't serve God where you are, you won't serve God where you ain't.
Amen.
Young people, if you can't serve God in the atmosphere that God's given you in the churches you're in, if you can't serve God there. Now, why is it that you're going to be able to serve God if you go out and get what you want? You're not. Whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? Oh, help me, Lord. Look at it now. Verse 4, oh, now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, men of Judah, judge, I pray you betwixt me and my vineyard. He said, I want you to come out, and I want you to ask, what more could I have done? Miss Sarah Jeter's here. That drove all the way from Tennessee. Praise the Lord. Be in the meeting tonight. Miss Sarah's living for God. We love Miss Sarah. She's some of these kids, some of that go to RBT camp. This is one of their counselors. That's why they're such bad shape. No, I'm just kidding. Miss Sarah, you'd have to agree with me with the family God gave you. Mom and Daddy sitting right behind me. And the church God put you in, the youth group you get to go, the kind of youth camp you got to grow up in. If you don't try to live for God, it ain't gonna be God's fault, is it? It ain't gonna be church's fault. If Miss Sarah, she's gonna have to admit, if I don't live for God, it's me.
Amen.
That's good.
Amen. Amen. Judge, tell me, what more? Let me ask you something. Well, I tell you what, if I had a good church to go to, God's giving you a good church. If I had a good home, my heart goes out tonight. If you're living in a home, you got a Christian mom there, loves God, brings you to the house of God, I'm telling you, my heart goes out to you. There's some adults around here who'll take you in and love you and make sure you get to God's house.
Amen.
They will. They love you. They love you. Amen. Let me ask you, what more does God have to do for you to serve God? I got a lot more I'd like to say, but I want you to turn to your Bible. He goes on and warns them about what happens when you break the hedge. Down in verse 5, he tells them, break that hedge. We know what Ecclesiastes chapter 10, I believe verse 8 says, he that breaketh the hedge, a serpent will bite him. What you don't realize is something right outside that hedge, something about you that you'll never be able to get turned loose of. Young people, you can open doors that you can never shut in your lifetime. Go with me. Psalm number 144. Here's what God wants to do with your life. Can I give you this and I'm done? Psalm 144, verse number 12. You ready? Here it is.
Here it is. Will of God for your life right here. God's plan for your life. Here's what God wants. Psalm 144. I'm letting you turn there. I want you to read it with me. I want you to mark it in your Bible. Talking about that vineyard. Psalm 144, verse 12. You ready? Here it is. Some of those in our youth group probably can quote it. That our sons may be as plants growing up in their youth. He's talking about mature plants. He's talking about plants that grow. Mature plants grow upward. You're going to be a mature plant, you're going to have to grow upward to get a little closer to Him tonight than you are right now. Brother Dan, he's giving us an outline. That our sons may be as plants grown up. In other words, you're growing up. You're getting older. You're maturing, supposedly. Help me now. But as you grow up, what are you becoming? This plant here is a strong one. It's growing. It's bearing fruit. You realize this? There's no greater joy or fulfillment in this walk of life than the bear fruit for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The devil has nothing in the bars, nothing in the dope houses, nothing in the world that could ever compare with that joy. Next step, ladies, here it is. He didn't forget you. That our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. Cornerstones. That's a pretty big something to live up to, isn't it? He's saying that I want to raise some young ladies that one day are going to be able to be polished. In other words, they're going to look like the house of God. They're going to find themselves fashioned. They're going to be the kind of young ladies that God can build a work on. There's not a pastor in the building that wouldn't agree with this statement. If it weren't for some of the ladies in the ministry, we'd be in a mess. Amen.
Amen.
God's giving you a fruitful hill. God's giving you a fruitful vineyard. One thing's for sure. Nobody can make you serve. One of these days, you're going to get that freedom you've been longing for. Man, I can't wait to get on my own so nobody will tell me what to do. And then you'll join the military. And then you're going to wish you was back home with your mama telling you what to do. When he's there, I'm tired of people telling me when to be in it. Not. I'm tired of all these, and all you see is rules and rules and rules and rules. It's amazing how, until you know the one, hey man, I know one person said it this way, the reason some folks don't like the rules or the guidelines that God gives because they don't know the person that gave the guidelines. Because now, brother, it's not rules and regulations. It's promises.
Amen. Yeah.
You're going to make the decision that we wish we could make for you one day. And when you have to give an account and your crop comes in, young person, what are you going to produce? What are you going to produce?
Amen.
Let's stand together. The pianist is coming tonight. Father, in your wonderful name, I beg you, Lord. Lord, you know best. Lord, you know best, not me. Trying my best to obey you, heed your voice. God, I need you tonight. I need you. God, there are some young people tonight. God, I'm begging you. God, touch their heart about where they are spiritually, the direction they're heading. I pray there'll be some young people that fall in love with Jesus. God, they don't have to ruin their life. They don't have to waste their life. Help them get to you, Father. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Folks are moving toward the altar. They're playing the piano. I'd like to ask you to come tonight. Young person, why don't you come tonight? Why don't you come? Thank God for His goodness in your life. That'd be a good place to start, is to find you a place and begin to thank God for His goodness. That's it. Folks are moving. Just join them. Just find you a place. I'm going to ask you to come make any empty promises tonight. But I am asking you tonight to come find you a place to thank Him, love Him. That's it. Wonderful. Thank God. Wonderful, wonderful. Is there another? Young people are moving. Thank God for that group. Is there another group? Good, wonderful. That's it. That's it. That's it. Just keep moving. Just keep moving. Get you some help tonight. God has laid it before you. But it's up to you what you're going to do. Great investments. Great investments that God's given. It's been so good. I wish I could just get you to
to feel what I feel, to know what I know, and the joy